Lead us not into temptation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. We have been expounding on the Lord's Prayer for some time now, and today we will look at the last petition of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 13, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray to God in this way: "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This petition follows naturally from the preceding one, where we ask the God for forgiveness, because when we ask for forgiveness, we also need to ask God to keep us from falling into the same faults again. So if we are genuine in our petition for forgiveness, we must ask God also to keep us from sinning again. And hence, the Lord Jesus tells us to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This natural link between verse 12 and verse 13 is pretty obvious. What is not that obvious is the meaning of the request, "Lead us not into temptation." What exactly are we praying for? If we try to explain it, we quickly realize that we are faced with several problems when we consider other verses that deal with temptation. Take for example 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. In this well-known verse, Paul says this: "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Here Paul speaks of temptation as an experience that is common to man. These are the temptations that all human beings face. No one can avoid them because they are part of the very nature of this world. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle against the principalities and powers, spiritual powers, and he urges us to stand strong in the Lord against the schemes of the devil. The forces of evil in this world are all around us, and they are working with the intention to make us stumble. It is a fact of life that we're being tempted all the time. And Paul goes on to say that God will give us a way out for us because we are his children. He's going to protect us. He always provides a way of escape by giving us the strength to walk through the temptation. Now, if this is so, how can we make sense of the petition, "Lead us not into temptation," when temptation is all around us? We are already in temptation. We live in a world full of temptations. To lead us not into temptation must be an utter impossibility. What do you think? In this prayer, we are dealing with the spiritual danger of temptation for the Christian. No one has been in the church for very long without realizing that from time to time, believers do fall into temptation, even those whom we regard highly. We should never underestimate the danger of temptation. It is not something to fool around with. Temptation is designed to destroy you. The intention of the devil, when he tempts you, is to tear you apart like a roaring lion. And so Peter, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, "Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Roaring lions don't come around to give you a show. they come to tear you apart, to devour you, to destroy you. So understand the great danger of temptation. But what does it mean to pray to God not to be led into temptation when we live in a world where we have to face temptations all the time? Here, we have to understand the nature of temptation, the kind of temptation that the Lord Jesus is talking about here. Temptation has two distinct meanings, and we must distinguish clearly between these two different aspects of temptation if we want to understand Jesus. One aspect of temptation is the one that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. There are many temptations, but no particular one has taken you which is not common to man. Paul is talking about temptations in general, the kind of temptations that we face in our everyday life. It is the temptations in the plural. The Lord Jesus uses the word temptations in this sense in Luke chapter 22 verse 28 when he says to his disciples, "But you are those who have continued with me in my temptations." The Lord Jesus makes reference to the many temptations that he had to face in his ministry. We read in the Gospels that his enemies tried to tempt him with tricky questions. The letter to the Hebrews says that he was tempted in all points such as we are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. This is referring to the general temptations of life. But there is another type of temptation, more specific in its meaning. It is the temptation which is used in the sense of bringing you down spiritually, of destroying you spiritually. It is the temptation in the singular. Remember the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. This kind of temptation was designed to destroy him spiritually, to knock him out. It is not the kind of temptation in which a scribe tempted Jesus with a tricky question, trying to set him up. It is temptation in the ultimate sense, with the danger that it causes you to sin in such a way that your faith collapses, a temptation that might cause you to apostatize. And this is what Jesus has in mind when he teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." In case you think that I'm the only one who thinks in this way, let me quote from the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology under the article "To Tempt." Commenting about Matthew 6:13, the article says, "Here God, having been asked for the forgiveness of sins, is asked not to allow his church to come into the kind of satanic temptation which would lead them to fall away, but to rescue them from the power of the evil one. Everyday temptations, as well as the eschatological tribulations and temptations to go astray, are summed up in the prayer, 'Lead us not into temptation.'" Did you get it? This New Testament Theology Dictionary says that the petition in Matthew 6:13 is a plea to be spared from the kind of temptation which can lead a believer to fall away, to go astray, to apostatize. So we're talking about a situation in which you might not come out of it in one piece if the devil can help it. The Apostle Paul also uses the word temptation in this specific sense of spiritual disaster. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9, we read this: "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." Here the temptation is designed to make you fall into sin in such a way that it plunges you into ruin and destruction. When you fall in this way, there's no turning back. It is a temptation from which there is no return. This is what Satan tried to achieve when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. Another example of this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5. Here again, we're talking about temptation in the ultimate sense. "For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter," that is the devil, "might have tempted you, and our labor should be in vain." Paul was not afraid that they would be tempted in a general sense. He said already in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that everybody is going to be tempted. But he was afraid of one particular type of temptation: that you should be so tempted by the devil that you are spiritually destroyed, and therefore that our labor would be in vain. That means to say, we have worked to bring you to Christ for nothing because you left the Lord. All our work is in vain because you have been destroyed spiritually. Now we can see that what Jesus is saying in the Lord's Prayer is this: when we say, "Lead us not into temptation," we're not just talking about the general temptations that are around us. We're talking especially about that kind of temptation from which there is no return. And we are asking God, don't let us to be led into a situation in which temptation overwhelms us in such a way that we fall away from the faith. It is a prayer for spiritual protection and for deliverance. The battle for the souls is being fought in our hearts. I hope that you realize that it is a very real battle. The devil means business, and if you don't mean business, that's when he's going to get you. Now I want to emphasize the fact that spiritual protection and deliverance from temptation is never without respect to our will. In other words, when we pray to God, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," we can certainly expect God's protection in times of temptation, provided that we do our part to follow Him. God works the way out, but we have to follow Him behind. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen. You will simply stay where you are. And if you are in temptation, you will remain in temptation and bear the consequences of it. Let's look at again at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. Let me read that verse again. "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." This verse is unfortunately too often quoted in isolation from its context. We know very well this verse. but we know the following verse. I'm afraid not. If we quote verse 13, we have to quote verse 14 also, because these two verses are connected together with a conjunction, therefore. There is the promise in verse 13 that God will make a way out of temptation. Then Paul says in verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You want a way out from temptation? Then you flee from idolatry. That's our part, our responsibility. Don't put yourself in trouble. Don't push God to the limit. Don't test God. Never quote 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, as though God is obliged to protect you from falling into temptation when you have decided to remain in temptation. In fact, if you do fall into temptation, don't blame God. Don't even blame the devil. Blame yourself. The book of James is very clear about that. Listen to James in James chapter 1 verse 13. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. When you are tempted, don't try to rationalize your action. Don't justify your wrong behavior and say, I'm tempted by God, for God does not tempt anyone. If you fall into temptation, just look at yourself. James chapter 1 verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. A person falls into temptation because he is drawn away by his own desires and lusts. James is telling us that the source of any temptation is not from the outside, but it is from within you. And it starts with the desires of your heart. God created man with desires, and there's nothing wrong about desires. The problem arises when the desires are focused on the wrong things, on the things of the flesh and of the world. When you allow these desires to influence you, that's the beginning stage of temptation. And when you begin to go after these desires, even if it is only in your mind, that's when sin is born. James chapter 1 verse 15. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Remember what happened to King David. One night, as he was walking on the roof of his house, he saw a woman bathing. Her name was Bathsheba, wife of Uriah the Hittite. We are told that she was very beautiful, and David was strongly attracted to her. At this point, no sin was committed. Being attracted to someone in of itself is not sinful. Then look at what happened. David sent and inquired about the woman, with the obvious intention of sleeping with her. And eventually he did, and she became pregnant. You see, David's sin started when he allowed his sexual drive to lead him to sleep with Bathsheba. Do you see how this incident illustrates so well the truth about temptation that we read in James chapter 1 verses 14 and 15? Each one is tempted when he is drawn by his own desires. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So remember, the origin of temptation is within man, in his desires, not outside of him. When you understand that, you understand also that the forces of evil have no power to tempt you unless there is a corresponding desire within you to respond to that temptation. It is at this level that Satan goes about to attack us. He makes his way into our desires to tempt us to sin. And I can't tell you where he's going to attack. He usually attacks you at your weakest point. There's a basic principle in the military that you don't attack the enemy where he's strong. You attack him where he's weak. This is true of all warfare, including spiritual warfare. Satan always looks for the weak point in you to come in. So know yourself. Know where your weak points are, and commit them to the Lord so that Satan doesn't make use of them to bring you down spiritually. The matter of our responsibility in spiritual protection is also seen in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. There Jesus said to his disciples, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The person who prays, "Lead me not into temptation," is also the person who watches and prays that he doesn't fall into temptation. Notice the two actions: watch and pray. That is to say, we have our responsibility, that is to watch. And when we pray, God will do his part by providing the spiritual resource that we need to resist temptation. Prayer is not an excuse for carelessness. Prayer is not an excuse for spiritual drowsiness. We have the responsibility to be alert, vigilant. This word, watch, in the Greek, is the same that we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, which I quoted already. "Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We are to be vigilant, watchful of the tactics of the devil. And Satan challenges us not so much through spiritual intimidation, but by way of deception, tempting us to respond to the desires of the flesh. Because he knows our weaknesses, that although the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Carnal weakness has been the cause of the downfall of many Christians in every generation. So we see the picture that the Lord Jesus is showing to us in this last petition of the Lord's Prayer. We are God's representatives in the world. We are the light in the midst of darkness. And darkness is trying to engulf us. We read in John that the darkness tries to overtake us. And we pray to God, "Deliver us in the midst of this evil." And we can have full assurance that when we pray in faith for deliverance from the evil one, God will safeguard us until the end.